This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zins, Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
Alrighty, good morning, boys and girls. Let's rock and roll. Coming to you live from Craig Zins, Acura of Pembroke Pines. Yes, sir. Alarmo, Sean, they're all with me here. We got Larry Schlossberg and the boys ready to make a deal for you. So if you're looking for a new or certified pre-owned vehicle, come on out and visit my friends here. July 4th weekend, man. Big time deals going on here at Craig Zins, Acura of Pembroke Pines. So come on out, and we'll be out here for a few hours. So if you want to come on by and say hi, we would love to meet you. Unless you're a pastor in Osceola County, stay there. Anyway, so appreciate all of you out there as always on a beautiful Friday. On a Friday where the Miami Heat are making moves. But it's one move that we all want to see them make, and that's the Kevin Durant one. And we'll get into that, obviously, as Kevin Durant is out there. Looks like the Suns may have the inside track on him. So we got some basketball to talk about. College football, the landscape is absolutely changing. What do the Miami Hurricanes need to do when you see all of that news? So we've got to definitely get into that. We of course, will share with you our liquor split matchup of the night. Of course, Miami's own liquor store, so download it. iOS or Android, Liquor Split. Tap that app, and we are red hot. We're 11-2 in our last 13 games against the spread. We're making you some money. The Liquor Split matchup of the night is making you money right now. 11-2 against the spread after last night's win. We will give you our selection also today on the program. We got some ugly news coming out of the NBA. The Inter-Miami squad will get ready for a match on Monday on July 4th. Got a little music news. And we've got, of course, a slew of guests, like always. Anthony Chang is going to join us at 10:30. So we'll talk all things Heat and NBA free agency. We've got Manny Navarro stopping by at 11. Very important with the face of the college football landscape changing. There's like a it's going under the knife right now. You know what I'm saying? And they're getting their plastic surgery. So we'll definitely talk to Manny about that. Omar Kelly will stop by at 11:30, and you know that that's always a jam-packed session with Omar. I watched the Tua Tagovailoa interview with Tyreek Hill. Did you watch it? Did you listen to it? I did. I watched it. It was great. Like, in a way, I love the vibe between the two and all of that. There wasn't anything earth-shattering out of it. I do like that Tua's able to be confident. That's one of the things that I like about... See, it's hard for you to grow in any kind of a situation when people don't believe in you or aren't supporting you. And when there's turmoil also, that doesn't help either. And that's kind of what he was dealing with for the last 2 years under Flo. Not a guy that supported him, not a guy that believed in him, created a negative-like atmosphere. And that's the one thing that, you know, now he gets to be himself. And there was a moment where he was talking about, you know, being a silent assassin in a way. And he is, actually. He's kind of one of those silent assassins. But he was talking about a specific situation that he was working on in Alabama. But what I like is that now he's able to be himself. And you know what I also love about listening to him, because I know people will then take it to another extreme and all those kind of things. The doubters and the haters are the ones that are going to feed off of his confidence. and they're going to try to use it against him. And confidence is something that all of us should have. I don't care what you do in life. I don't care if you're selling cars here at Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. I don't care if you're a chef at Sports Grill. It doesn't matter to me. You got to have confidence in anything and everything that you're doing. You know, Matt and all the great people at Liquor Split, they're confident. They know what they're doing. Their product, their service is something that's needed. Now, at the beginning, people aren't, you know, they're going to doubt you, and you got to have confidence in what you're doing. You know, when we first started this podcast a couple of years back, you know how many downloads we got in the first day? 500. 500. Now it's 80,000. But hard to pick up confidence in 500, right? But you have to have determination. You have to stay with it. And you have to believe and have to have conviction. And people will doubt you. But you have to fight the grain. Sometimes it's going to go against you at the beginning because people may not believe in you. And then you've got to turn them over and make them believers. You know what I mean? Slowly but surely, I believe this platform is making people believers. Like, man, we could get all of our sports news and all of our insight right here on this platform. If I'm a South Florida sports fan living in Singapore or in Canada or in Mexico or in Wechetted or in West Palm Beach, I'm going to be able to get everything I want on this platform now because, wow, they added everything. See what I'm saying? And so it's all about confidence. And Tua did not have the success he had at high school without confidence. He didn't have the success he had in college without confidence. Tyreek asks him, or I think it's actually his partner that asks him about coming off the bench and that moment and taking over for Alabama and leading them to the title and all that kind of stuff. And Tua talks about that, how, you know, at that moment, Jalen was, you know, struggling and they brought him in. And he's thinking, he goes, man, I know, you know, what I know about the playbook now. I want to go out there and show my skills. So he wasn't thinking like, well, I'm a fill-in. I'm just going to, you know, keep the seat warm for Jalen. No, he was already thinking, I need to show that I'm the guy. And that's confidence. And that's everybody in any walk of life. I don't care if you do nails. You know, you got to feel that when ladies walk into your salon, they're going to get the best treatment possible. And they're going to walk out and they're going to feel great about their nails and the way they look. And it's all manicured and clean and all that kind of stuff. Confidence is about anything and everything that we do in life. And I don't care if it's on the weekend that you're a weekend warrior, that you're building things in your home and all that kind of stuff. If you think you can build this or that, well, you got to have some confidence in order to acquire, to be able to do that, right? And I think that's one thing that I really got out of the podcast. And I'm getting it also from the entire offseason. Tua's not one of those guys that's going to be bragging a lot, not going to be talking a lot. But he was able to open up and relax a little bit with Tyreek. And you can sense that the confidence for him is there. And he feels good because now he can be himself. Whether it's his personality, whether it's communicating, whatever it is, all of these things. And the other thing that I got from that interview is he's still not comfortable taking over. And that's the nice guy in him. That's the respectful guy in him. That he's not really the guy that bosses people around and breaks the boundary and shatters it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here. I'm the guy. Shut the hell up. Listen to me. That's not him. And Tyreek wants to get him to that point where it's like there's that whole thing about when they were talking about practicing, and I might be ruining some of this stuff for you all that didn't listen to it, but there's a part where he was talking about, you know, but I wanted to check in with you guys to try to organize. And he goes, man, you don't need to do that. you need to tell us, hey, be there next week at this time. Be there tomorrow at this time. And we all go. And Tyreek was like, it doesn't matter, man. You want to go to Hawaii to go practice? Then we go to Hawaii and we go practice. You know, and they were joking about it. But it's one of those where Tyreek wants to help him take over the team. But that's the part that's the threshold that you have, right? And Ryan Tannehill could never cross that threshold. You know why? Because he had never performed. And so you can't go telling people what to do when you really aren't the leader on the offense. You're just kind of a facilitator at best. And everybody else knows it. That's not what Tua is. Tua's a franchise quarterback. So the next step for Tua will be this season now. When he does take the field and takes over and starts to play well, and I believe he will play well, that's when the confidence steps in. And that's when he'll feel like it's his place to put everybody in their place when they have to. Because now he is carrying his weight. The problem right now I think Tua has, and it's normal for any young player, because you haven't established yourself and you haven't become the guy, and we know what has happened the first 2 years, why you haven't, because of that coach. Now you've got the coach that's going to allow you to take over and grow. Once you see him start having that success in that first month and second month, then I think that second half of the year, you'll see him grow into that leadership role where he takes over the team. And then guys also will settle down because everything will then be nice and clear. He's the guy. It's not being questioned up top. He's winning. He's moving the offense. We're scoring. You know, he is the player that we all wanted him to be. Boom, everything settles. So that part of the equation, and you can tell in their conversations yesterday that Tua's still trying to find his footing in that area, and really the only thing that's going to allow him to kind of settle in on that is success, and he has to have that this year. And once he does, then everything else will fall into place. But it was a cool conversation between the two. I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it. Anyway, so there you go. Give it a listen. If you get a chance, give it a listen. By the way, Tyreek is all Cuban now. He's officially Cuban. Because it was supposed to drop at 7. It didn't drop at 7. And then he put out a tweet. Oh, it'll drop at 8 o'clock on all platforms. Relax. Take it easy. Easy on your drive home. You can relax at home. Listen to it. Did not drop at 8 o'clock. I don't know what time it dropped exactly, but it was past 8. I don't know when the hell. 8, 9:30, whatever the hell. What, you know?
They probably forgot to change the configuration on the thing, so they put down the time, and if it's scheduled for 7 like West Coast, it'll drop at 10 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Well, you wouldn't know that because you're the technical guy that does all that stuff. I would not know. I would have never even thought about that.
That's the first thing I thought about. I forgot to change the...
You would, because that's what you have to do every day of your life. So there you go. That's probably what happened there. I didn't start listening to it till the 10 o'clock hour sometime. So I didn't even watch The Old Man yesterday. So I got to watch The Old Man over the weekend. And it was getting good, too. So I was kind of looking forward to this episode last night. So I'm going to watch The Old Man tonight, actually, on FX, just in case. For those of you, if any of you are watching the Old Man, I am definitely watching that. Oh, yeah, it is Bobby Bonilla Day, yeah. Yeah, yeah, he gets it every year. Yeah, man, that is awesome. And God bless him, man. God bless him. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. But anyway, back to the Tua thing. So, yeah, Tyreek Hill officially is now Cuban because he's not on time. So, and way late. So, Tyreek, I officially welcome you to the Cuban neighborhood, my friend. Okay? You are officially half Cuban now. You can go to Little Havana, go have un cafecito with us. Have a cigar. What? You know what? No cigars, bro. No cigars. You're too fast. We don't want any kind of smoke, that kind of smoke, at least in your lungs, to really slow you down. No cigarettes, no cigars. The other stuff ain't going to slow you down. So you can enjoy the other stuff. But that stuff, don't. Stay away from that stuff. But come on down to Little Havana. Even though Little Havana is very, very little Cubans left in Little Havana, really, Little Havana is now Little Americas. It's really what it is. It's not really Little Havana anymore. Most of the Cubans moved out from Little Havana. They moved to Kendall. Anyway, but you are officially Cuban now, Tyreek. That's for sure. You need to watch The Boys. I know many of you have told me about The Boys. I see it there. I have not started watching it. Michael Fernandez says, good morning, Big O, Sean, and all of Big O Nation. Thank you. Thank you. Mitt Gotiavolia is on. It dropped at 10 p.m.? Okay. So it was probably what you said. They put 7 p.m. and it was Pacific. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably what it is. Big O, what would you choose? One ring this decade with KD, Jimmy, Bam, or a few rings this decade with Mitchell, Bam, but no Jimmy? Well, I'm going to take a few rings. I don't give a shit who wins it, dude. I root for the Miami Heat. Whoever plays for the Miami Heat is who I root for. The championship, one championship by those guys isn't more special than multiple championships by anyone else. That's a silly question. Anybody else that would ask or think about that, why would you think about multiple championships? I want multiple championships. Greed, baby. I'm Gordon Gekko all the way. For those of you that don't know what the hell I just said, watch Wall Street. Lisa Rose in the house. Happy Friday. Sean O, Finn's fam, only a few weeks away until training camp. Flipper knows what I'm talking about. Greed is good. Greed cuts. All right, sorry. Anyway, Tyreek Hill may be just the player Tua needs in many ways. Yeah, well, he's the player we all need. It's like having Clayton and Duper, bro. You know, it's when you have those kind of cats, they're special, man. Steve Chapman in the house. He was first. Jamie Zorria out in San Jose says, let's get ready for a great weekend and get that grill ready. Yes, sir?
No, I wanted to say something on the Tyreek being the right person. Remember, he went through the beginning of Patrick Mahomes, right?
Yes. He said
Patrick Mahomes was terrible, right?
Trash.
Trash, that's right. He said he was trash. So he's watched trash. How they developed and molded, you know, right. Mahomes, Andy Reid, and everything that they did there in KC. So I think he's bringing some of that over here to Miami.
Right, exactly. Right. Mahomes, he called them trash the first year. That's because he's raw and, you know, he's got to learn and see everything and figure it all out, and then everything will work out. Gus 1388, Robert Triana. 111 Vibe International is in from Pismo Beach, California. Pismo Beach, California. There you go. So are you up for that $1,000 lottery for the folks over in California? Did you hear about that with Newsom? They're giving away $1,000 to now the whole thing, if I understand it correctly, they overcharged on their taxes. So they ended up as a state collecting too much tax. So now with that extra tax money, they want to give it back, but they're only going to give it back to certain people. I forgot what requirements they need. So 111 Vibe International, good luck to you, sir, on the $1,000 lottery there in California for some folks. Big Dan 305 is in. To Extreme says, this Kevin Durant trade stuff has me losing my mind from excitement and suspense. I hope Riley makes the trade. Riley's going to try. I don't know if they have the pieces, and they're going to have to give up a lot, man. Yuri Cristofante is in. Alex Palenzuela is in. John Santos says, my cousin lives in Philadelphia and coming for a visit to visit me, and we're going to the Philadelphia-Miami preseason game. Nice. Nice. There you go. There you go. 6193 is in. Jesse M is in. Oladipo surprises me. Rosendo in. July wishes you a wonderful month filled with good health and happiness. It's Bobby Bonilla Day. Time to celebrate the legendary contract that keeps giving. And by the way, his wife too. I don't know if he's still married. He had a knockout of a wife too, man. I don't know if they're still married, but back in the day, there you go. Ian from Brooklyn is in. Pick a guy and let it fly. Yeah, that's when he was talking about Dan. He talked about that yesterday. Omar, John Padilla, C. Dola says, I made $30 picking the over last night. There you go. There you go. There you go. We're making more money right now for you on the liquor split matchup of the night than you do in crypto at this moment. Some good buying zones, man. God, it's so good right now for crypto. Anybody that gets in now, God bless you, man. Good for you. Eminem is in. He says, is it possible to do a four-team deal with the Heat, Nets, Hawks, and Mavs? Miami gets KD, Dallas gets Lowry, Nets get Collins and Hero, and multiple picks and players. Hawks get Duncan and picks. Eminem, you've done a lot. You got a lot of time on your hands, my brother. You got a lot of time on your hands, man. No mom, not the belt. What's my thoughts on Kenobi? I've talked about it already. I love the series. I thought it was fantastic. And the last episode was freaking awesome. So, yes, I loved it.
Let me tell you, since I started watching this, you know, in order, Clone Wars is not that bad.
I know, right?
The cartoon is not that bad.
It's good. No, it's good. Because
I'm in season six, so I'm almost through it now.
Right, yeah. But
and it's
but you get a lot of nuggets.
Yes, yes.
You get educated on a lot of stuff.
Yes,
that's
a
the
lot
thing.
Of stuff is there, yes.
That's the thing about the Clone Wars that I did not realize when I'm watching it.
Yep.
So, yes, I'm
and
with you.
Especially since I've seen other things. So now when I see that, I'm like, oh, okay, all right.
You put one and one together.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's what happened to my wife when we went back to watch the first three episodes before Kenobi, because we watched a couple of episodes of Kenobi, and she was asked, and I go, you know what? We need to watch the first three, because you have not watched the first three, right? And she says, no, I've only like run into it for 5 minutes here or there, but I've never watched them. So we watched all three, and then we finished and watched all of Kenobi, so it kind of fell into place. So it's really cool, by the way, and thank you all out there for helping me with that. That Disney did that they put it all in chronological order so you can watch it. And for us Star Wars geeks, oh my God, it's freaking awesome. Tony Zagalis is in. Steven Gonzalez says, who gives a shot? Who's first on the chat board? As long as we tune in multiple times. There you go, Steven. There you go. Kyle is in. Isaiah, Heat Fins, Remy LeBeau. Eric Simon, Tank, Josh, Steve Allen. There we go. Last four episodes of season seven were some of the best Star Wars. So you got somebody. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But yeah, it's good, man. It's good. Definitely good. Anyway, there we go. Thank you, Dennis, for chiming in as always. And folks, please smash the hell out of the like button. It is very important that you smash the like button. Please subscribe to the channel. Let's get us to 13,000. We're getting close to 13,000 now. Let's get us over 13,000. And also, our other channel, Big O Show Cuts, we need to get that over 1,000, please. Want to do some live broadcasting from that. So please get us over 1,000 on that one. Go to search Big O Show Cuts and subscribe to it. We got almost 13,000 people here. We only need, you know, less than 10% of you to go over and click on. I mean, I would love for all of you to click on Big O Show Cuts, too. I mean, it would be great to strengthen that one also to the max, but I get it. I get it. It's an effort. But if you can, please smash the hell out of the like button on both channels, and please subscribe to both channels. It helps us grow immensely. Okay? There you go. Yes, sir.
Happy Canada Day out there to our Canadian listeners.
Oh, I did not know that.
I did not. I'm on Twitter, so I ran across it.
Okay. All right. All right. And by the way, thanks to the great people at Perdomo Cigars, 5150 Northwest 167th Street. Get on down there. Check out their humidor. They got a ginormous humidor. They got a big, giant, beautiful couch, giant, beautiful television. The place has been redesigned inside. It looks really nice. They redesigned it about 2 months ago, and they did a great job with it. Nick Perdomo is usually in there if he's not traveling around the world, so you might see the rock star there and meet him. And listen, go to your nearest cigar store anywhere in the world that you're watching and ask for the Estate Selección Vintage. Get the Maduro, by the way, which is my favorite, a 94 from the Cigar Journal, the 20th anniversary, which is probably my favorite Perdomo. Although I got to tell you, the other day, Nick Jr., I had never tried the double age 12-year vintage, the double age one, and it was so rich. It was so delicious that, you know, I brag a lot about the 20th anniversary, and I love the Maduro because it's kind of like a medium to full type of flavor. And it got a 94 rating from Cigar Journal. But that double-aged 12-year vintage, man, that is a rich and delicious cigar. So check it out, your nearest cigar store, or go to the retail store at 5150 Northwest 167th Street. You can get hats like this, by the way, there. So check it out at PerdomoCigars.com. They will blow you away, man. Good people. Good people. All right, we've got the Marlins back in action tonight, taking on the Nationals. Trevor Rogers and Josiah Gray. Yesterday, we gave you our liquor split matchup of the night. Well, why don't we do it right now? Let's get it going early on, because I know some people have been they're texting me now. They're sending me DMs now. They're sending me all kinds of things. Hey, did you do the liquor split? Who'd you pick in the liquor split matchup of the night? So people are intrigued. We're on a roll. It is time for the liquor split matchup of the night.
It's time to tap that app. And no one loves to tap that app like the Big O. Here's the liquor split matchup of the night.
All right, last night, or yesterday, I'm sorry, we went with the Pirates-Milwaukee game. And remember I told you that Pittsburgh's offense lately has been scoring some runs. The pitchers, both pitchers were not good pitchers. And so the over and under was 8.5 runs. I think by the sixth inning, we already had that. Pittsburgh alone scored 8 runs yesterday. Didn't I tell you that they've been scoring runs? And since they were going up against a bad pitcher, well, guess what? Milwaukee got their own because they were going up against a bad pitcher. It was 8-7. They ended up scoring 15 runs. So I think over 8.5, that's like a comfortable win, right? I think, right? Maybe. Could be, right? Yeah, that's a comfortable win. So we ended up victorious in our liquor split matchup of the night. We are now 11-2 against the spread in our last 13 selections in the liquor split matchup of the night. Now, tonight, the Marlins start a set with the Nationals. Trevor Rogers is on the mound with Josiah Gray, but I'm not picking this game. This is not going to be my liquor split matchup of the night. I cannot trust Trevor Rogers. The Nationals have the better pitcher. The Nationals are favored by 1.5 here. Kind of confusing. Over and under is 9 runs. And, of course, the way Rogers has pitched, that's what Vegas is saying. But Rogers has the potential of getting back on track. So I don't trust this game. I'm staying away from it. Here's what my liquor split matchup of the night is going to go with. I'm going to go with Cincinnati and Atlanta. Cincinnati has Mike Minor on the mound who has stunk out the place. He's 1-4. He's got a 7.71 ERA. Atlanta, Max Fried has done a nice job, man, really good job. He's 7-2 with a 2.77 ERA. Okay, Atlanta's favored by 1.5. The over and under is 9.5 runs. Obviously, Mike Minor, the way he's pitched, Vegas is expecting some runs here. Atlanta's a heavy favorite, minus 270, and Cincinnati's plus 220. I got to tell you something. I really like Atlanta in this game. Even though they're not even 100%, I still think they have enough offense to win by two runs. I still think they have enough offense to slap Mike Minor around. I think Max Fried is pitching well enough now to keep Cincinnati in check to make sure that Atlanta has the cushion they need to win. I am laying the 1.5 with Atlanta against Cincinnati. I'm going with the Braves in our liquor split matchup of the night.
The matchup of the night is brought to you by Liquor Split, Miami's own online liquor store. Liquor Split. Download then tap that app and get your favorite liquor delivered to you for just $2.99. No risk, no drinking and driving. Tap that app with Liquor Split.
All right, all right, all right. There we go. Love it. All right, now we're going to go to our Liquor Split Miami Heat and NBA report with Anthony Chang.
Let's tap into the latest with the Miami Heat and our Liquor Split app, Miami Heat Reports, with insider Anthony Chang. Liquor Split is Miami's own online liquor store. Download, then tap the app and get your favorite liquor delivered to you for just $2.99. No risk, no drinking and driving. Tap that app with Liquor Split. Here's Anthony Chang.
All right, we're ready to go. Let's talk a little Heat, a little NBA, and I think we've got a couple of things to talk about here, right? Anthony Chang, I'm sure he's been busy keeping up with everything yes. going on with the Miami Heat. And Anthony, yesterday we had Ira on, as obviously every day of the week we have NBA insiders all throughout the week here, and that's the idea on the platform. And he was telling us that PJ Tucker was dead set on being a $10 million player, something that the Miami Heat could not make happen. Was it really all about that? I mean, it kind of sucked to see him go to Philadelphia.
Yeah, what I was told was that at this stage of his career, at 37 years old, he wanted the most guaranteed money possible. And the Heat's offer wasn't a bad one. Three years, $27 million, guaranteed at 37. That's not a bad offer. But at the end of the day, Philly was willing to give him more. They were willing to use that non-taxpayer exception that Miami wasn't willing to use because they didn't want to get hard-capped. And he got $6, $7 million more from Philly. People will point to the same income tax, but it's only a 3% tax over there, so it's not much. So he came away with more money. So all power to PJ. But the Heat drew a line, and they weren't going to go past that final offer they gave him.
Yeah, no, obviously. And he was dead set on getting that money. So... Yeah. They end up re-signing Dedmon to a two-year, $9 million deal, so he's 4.5 against the cap. Oladipo gets a one-year, $11 million deal. What's next now for Miami? How do they make up for the Tucker stuff? You know, we talked a little bit about Bobby Portis. Well, he re-signed already. We've talked about John Collins. He's still available. Will Atlanta keep all three guys? Murray, Trey Young, and John Collins. I kind of have a hard time believing that. So what's going on with John Collins? What's going on with Jay Crowder? Another option for Miami. Where do they fill the PJ Tucker void, or can they?
Yeah, there's some Jay Crowder interest for sure, but I think everything is being held up by Kevin Durant, right? Because there's still a possibility Kevin Durant could replace PJ Tucker, which would be quite the upgrade. Which would be quite the upgrade and replacement for PJ Tucker.
Maybe.
And Phoenix, the same.
Maybe.
A little bit.
Just
that. And Phoenix is also obviously in the Kevin Durant game. And they can't think about trading Jay Crowder right now because they might need Jay Crowder to pull off a trade. Or they might need Jay Crowder if they trade half their roster for Kevin Durant. So it's kind of a waiting game right now to see until Kevin Durant makes a decision, until the Nets make a decision of how this is going to unfold. You would think maybe in the coming days. We might have to wait. Like, things have been put on pause. Obviously, Caleb Martin is still out there. He's a possible replacement for PJ. He can play the four a little bit at forward. But other than that, things are getting thin as far as free agency because so many of the top guys signed or agreed to terms yesterday. Guys still available, I have my list right here. Otto Porter Jr., TJ Warren, Caleb Martin, Cody Martin. There just isn't a lot of big names available.
I'm just thinking about TJ Warren and Butler in the same locker room. That's all I'm thinking about right now.
That's interesting. Yeah. Some good stories.
Although TJ Warren has had so many injuries in his career.
Yeah.
That I would be very – I know he's kind of stayed away from it in the last year. And it's kind of interesting, you know, because he's headed into free agency. I would stay away from him just because of the injury history that TJ Warren has had overall. But he does have talent. I will say that. I don't know if he's the same player anymore because of all those injuries now over the last couple of years. But so what's going on before we get into all the Durant mess? I want to kind of leave that because I know that's the last and juicy question. John Collins, what is the possibilities, or are we waiting, like you just said? Here's you know what? Let's get to the Durant thing. One of the things that I was thinking about, right, can Miami match the amount of first-rounders that Phoenix can send? No, right?
No.
Okay.
I think Phoenix could offer four. They have control of four first-round picks. That they could.
And Miami three or two?
Miami has two right now, but they could open up a third by amending the protections on a pick deal Oklahoma City, which is possible.
Okay, so
they theoretically, well, for three first rounders in a trade
for Durant, they'll do that happily. That's not even in the discussion. So okay, right. So they could give up the three, but here's the screwed up part about all of this, and the Nets have to be thinking about this. Whoever they trade Durant to, the first round picks become worse.
Sure, but the picks will be,
you know what I'm saying?
One of them will be next year, but the others will be in 25 or 26 and then 28.
But still, Phoenix is the one that has Durant, so they should be the better team. Or if Miami gets Durant, then they'll be the better team. And so you're giving yourself the worst first rounders to whoever you trade Durant to. You know what I'm saying? So then it comes.
Teams would be willing to trade those picks, Brooklyn, without a question.
So then it comes down to who has the better players to give. And so do the Nets want young players? So then Cam and some of these guys that they have compared to Tyler and some of the guys Miami has. So when you look at that, you tell me, does Miami have any competition there? I mean, can they compete there with Phoenix when we talk about the active young players that they can trade to Brooklyn?
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix, their package would be basically headlined by DeAndre Ayton, who's a restricted free agent. There's some complications there. Obviously, it need to be a sign and trade. Base year compensation, which is a very complicated thing as far as matching salaries in a trade. I don't know how much Brooklyn wants DeAndre Ayton, right? DeAndre Ayton has been a little bit of – he's very talented, but he's had some issues in Phoenix.
And he's really not today's center anymore.
Right.
Unfortunately, as long as you're going to surround him with a whole bunch of shooters and let him do his defensive rebounding thing and garbage scoring around the basket, then you're all right. But you better surround him with a whole bunch of shooters – because he's not a guy that's going to develop an 18-footer or a 22-footer.
Yeah, and Devin Booker's off the table after signing an extension yesterday with Phoenix. So
I don't think you would trade him anyways, because why would you trade Durant and then trade Booker? Then you're back in square one again. You know,
I'm guessing Durant wants to play with Booker, right?
Like, of course.
He wants to go to a team with some good players on it, not gutted.
The whole Carmelo thing has taught people a real lesson. From years ago with the Knicks in Denver, that Denver traded so much that when Melo ended up getting there, yeah, he got his money, and that's all he really gave a shit about, but he really didn't have the team. The Knicks ended up actually having a better all-around team than Denver did at that moment.
Yeah. No, I agree. But, you know, Kevin Durant, obviously, at this stage of his career, it's not about the money, right? He's going to get his money. He's already under contract for four more years. It's about going to a really good situation where he could win. And this is the final pretty much stage of his career. He's going to be 34, I believe, or he is 34. Like, these last 4 years or these next 4 years are the final 4 years probably of his prime, or the back end of his prime, or even he's a little bit past his prime. But he wants to win. And I think both teams give him the opportunity to do that. And that's why they're two of his preferred teams. But I think the most interesting about this is how much power is Kevin Durant going to have, right? He doesn't have 1 year left on his deal where he could just say, I'm not going to this team and I'm going to be a free agent next year and you're going to trade all these assets away and I'm not going to resign. Right. He has 4 years left on his deal. But he could do the same thing he's doing in Brooklyn right now in New Orleans. He could do the same thing he's doing right now in Brooklyn and Minnesota and refuse to play and say, I don't want to be here and make their lives miserable. So, and those teams are not going to trade Zion Williamson for a Kevin Durant who doesn't want to be in New Orleans. So he has some leverage. It's just about how much he's going to use that leverage, I guess, to really get to where he wants to be.
So what's your gut tell you, man? Because I just get the feeling like he's going to Phoenix.
It seems like Phoenix is his favorite I mean, Brian Windhorst, his fan, is reporting that's where Kevin Durant wants to go. Like, that's his number one place.
It just also seems to me like they have the more ammo, actually. Yeah. It's like that's really what I'm looking at, just being objective.
I think the only way he gets to the Heat is if he says, I want to go to Miami. And that's like, you know, Pat gets him in a room or they talk to him and say, they pitch him on the situation. He says, I want to be there. And basically tells him, let's get a deal done. I don't care how you do it, but I want to go to the Heat. Other than that, it's hard to see a pathway for the Heat to get it done because there's so many other teams that can put together better trade packages. If Bam was able to be included, I'm not saying they would offer Bam, but if Bam was eligible to be traded to Brooklyn, he's not right now because of some weird NBA salary cap rule.
What about that whole thing that could you really trade Bam for Simmons? If you really, that's the only way you can circumvent that? You can.
It doesn't have to be for Simmons going to Miami. As long as Simmons gets traded somewhere else and it's not on Brooklyn's roster, then Bam can be part of the trade.
You know, I had a segment, I don't know, it was like 7 months ago or something like that. And I said that, you know, when Simmons was before he got traded, I said, really, on it, not that I want him here.
Yeah.
But I have to say, the only place I think that can fix him is Miami, possibly San Antonio. That's it. I think you need – there are very few organizations that have a chance at reaching that kid and making him what he should be, in other words, with his talent. You know what I'm saying? You're never probably going to make him a great shooter, but you can still make him a scorer around the basket because his size and his athleticism is just an absolute mismatch for almost anybody. You know, it's like magic. It just reminds me a lot of Magic in that sense, that Magic was never a great shooter, but he can score like a mother because he was a 6'9 point guard that just could get his shot. And he even learned the baby hook, which is like, and let me tell you something, Anthony. To this day, I wonder how stupid everybody is in the NBA, all these big men, how nobody has taken the time to learn that shot, bro. How stupid can people be? It's an unstoppable shot for a 6'10", 7-footer. Unstoppable. How do you not learn that shot? If you're not a great three-point shooter, then, dude, it's like that. The art of playing with your back against the basket is just disappearing, bro, more and more every day. Sad, man.
Change for sure.
All right.
But look at Andrew Wiggins, what Golden State did with him. It's kind of a similar thing where –
right.
You go to a really good, stable organization that has a good player development program and has good leadership up top. Like, those players have talent. They were drafted at the top of the draft for a reason. Ben Simmons is another guy that if he's in a good situation, like you said, you might be able to get the most out of him.
Well, hey, listen, Miami said, LeBron, we need you. Would you back your basket a little bit more? That'll improve your efficiency. Oh, Bosh, we want to put you out in the perimeter a little bit more. That'll stretch out our offense, and you have the skill set to do it. So it's part of you having the vision, understanding it, and then going out there and teaching the players, and then them, of course, having, you know, the professionalism to dedicate themselves to it. All right, so we talk about Durant. It looks more like the Suns have the inside track right now over the Heat, unless a crazy Ben Simmons-type deal where you include Bam to them and we get Simmons. And then the Heat somehow thinks that they can straighten out that reclamation project. I don't know. Whatever. And plus, you do have to plan for life after Lowry anyway. So, okay, if it's not that crazy scenario, because the Suns aren't going to take Ben Simmons off their hands, But if Miami's willing to do it, that might be a little bit of a caveat that might make up for some of the things that they can't make up for. Okay, so that's one crazy scene. Donovan Mitchell, we saw Bradley Beal. He wanted to stay in Loserville. Mm-hmm. He stayed in Loserville. That's fine. Okay, great. The next guy is Donovan Mitchell. We're not hearing anything whatsoever coming out of Utah, my brother. I mean, it is quiet on all fronts. Gobert, you name it. So how about that as an option for Miami?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anything personally, but just reading the tea leaves of what Utah's doing, they've let a lot of their like rotation players go in the last in the first day of free agency. They traded away, I think, Rose O'Neal.
I like him.
It's like, he was one of their best defenders, quality, you know, bench player. That's kind of like what is Utah just going to blow this up? Are they rebuilding? Does that mean Donovan?
I don't know what the hell they're doing, bro.
I'm not sure, you know, but it is definitely worth watching if you're a Heat fan, because Donovan Mitchell is a name obviously that's been linked to the Heat for months. For years almost. That's another possibility, right? I mean, I think all the attention right now is on Kevin Durant, as it should be. But, you know, if they don't get Kevin Durant, Donovan Mitchell's going to be a name that's not going to go away for the Heat. Like, they're going to continue to be linked to him.
Okay, so let's play this game now. So we know Durant wants out. Phoenix and Miami are his lead destinations. Mm-hmm. Realistically, objectively, enough, Heat Nation, relax. Suns have the inside track. Now, the fact that people are using their cap space and they're now, and some people, like the Suns, will have to now trade a lot in order to get Durant, there'll be less players for Donovan. So the more that Utah sits there idle, the more options dry up for them to move Donovan to other destinations. If Miami is patient and they stay flexible, they may not have as much competition for Donovan Mitchell if it continues at this pace. Am I reading it wrong?
No, but it's just the timing of it's going to be interesting if it does happen, if Donovan Mitchell does ask for a trade, because Tyler Hero, as we all know, would be the centerpiece of that type of trade, right?
He's
the best young asset. Teams would like to have him. If you're trading a star like Donovan Mitchell, you're going to ask for the Heat's rising star in Tyler Hero. When Tyler Hero signs his extension, whenever that is, it could be in September, it could be in October, he is going to be very, almost impossible to trade for the following year because of a poison pill rule that when a player signs a contract, it's not into effect, it doesn't take go into effect to the following year, but basically it makes him kind of untradeable. So if Donovan Mitchell is going to become available, you would want it to be before that, before Tyler Hero signs that extension, because it's going to be very tough to put together a package, right? I mean, yeah, you could put together a package of, you know, some other guys, but if you don't have Tyler Hero as part of it, I don't know if Utah's going to do it. So the timing of it is going to be very interesting as far as if it happens and when it happens.
Zach LaVine is going to stay in Chicago?
Yeah. All signs point to him.
So what it looks like.
He hasn't signed or agreed to the deal yet, but all signs point to him staying.
Because it looks like the moves they're making around it, it's kind of like they're expecting him to, right? Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, that's the expectation.
Yeah, okay. So that because, again, I want to clear it up with Heat Nation because, you know, it's options are drying up, and options are completely drying up for the Miami Heat. And that's why the Donovan Mitchell one is now the one that's kind of intriguing to me, because as much as I would like to see KD here, I almost feel like they would have to gut their team so much that it would kind of set them back in a way. And then it's really going to put a lot of heat on the two stars. It almost reminds me of the big three the first year, where you've got, you know, what's the name of that point guard that was over the hill?
Mike Bibby?
Mike Bibby. You've got, you know, pieces like that just weren't good enough to help. And then that's when you needed the Ray Allens and the Battiers and all that to really give them a foundation around the big three to really get it done. I almost feel like that if you trade for Durant, yeah, you'll have Durant and Jimmy, but you're not going to have a lot left over around those guys. And that's what I think the Heat fear also in that. With the Donovan Mitchell deal, you may not have to give up nearly as much.
Yeah, if there's any way that he could keep Bam and Jimmy while trading for Durant, obviously that's the dream scenario for the Heat or any Heat fan, and that would be probably the favorite to win the championship, or definitely one of the favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to imagine, right? I mean, it's hard to imagine Brooklyn taking a package that doesn't include.
I think we end up with Simmons.
The Heat's two best players.
I think we end up with Simmons. Seriously, if you want Durant. And hey, we have a better deal with the Suns. But if you want the deal, you have to take Simmons. And I bet you that that's the only way that deal happens. The Suns don't have to take Simmons because they have the ammunition. But if Brooklyn wants to unload also Simmons and get that headache off of his off, dude, we've had to deal with Harden, we've had to deal with Kyrie. Now we've got to deal with Simmons. Let's clean the slate completely. Simmons cannot carry our franchise. We know that. Let's ship him off to Miami. Phoenix won't take him, but Miami might take. Yeah, it's like that old commercial. Give it to Mikey. He'll eat it. He'll eat anything. You know what I mean? Give it to the Heat. They'll reclimate anything, any project out there. They'll turn it around. You know. So I almost feel like in order to get Durant, we're gonna have to take that dude in order for it to happen. That's just me.
Maybe I don't know. I don't know the Heat's appetite for trading Bam or Jimmy, to be honest with you. I don't.
No, not Jimmy.
Bam is
20. No, they're not trading Jimmy. I'm saying if you trade Bam for Simmons, part of, because in order to get Durant, they're going to want Bam. They're going to want a big centerpiece. So you got to send them Bam and Tyler, but they're going to give you Simmons and Durant in the process.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. And one thing's for sure, though, I think, just from the first day of free agency and everything we've heard from how the Heat are operating, they're positioning themselves for a trade. Like for any guy that becomes available to be in the game.
Right.
They don't want to be hard capped. They want to keep that flexibility. They obviously are signing guys to these very tradable contracts because you need different levels of salary to complete these trades with this matching salaries and all that. I mean, Deadman to a $4 million salary, Victor Oladipo, $11 million. Like these are all different levels of salary that could help, you know, you stack pieces together to complete that type of deal. So They're positioning themselves. They might not get Kevin Durant. They might not get Donovan Mitchell in the next 2 months. But whoever does become available, they want to be in position to get.
Right. They're maintaining flexibility.
Yeah. So
smart.
It'll be interesting to see kind of who, you know, if it's not Durant, if it's not Mitchell, then who's the next guy that wants out?
Yeah, because when they signed the other guys that they brought back, that 31-10, they kind of killed their flexibility too. And that put them, and I think they learned their lesson from there. And I like what they've done right now and the way they're positioning themselves. All right, my brother, make sure you follow him at Anthony_Chang, folks, please. And of course, subscribe to the Miami Herald. Catch his exceptional work there as he continues to follow the craziness of free agency in the Miami Heat. And next week, he'll be in Vegas with us out there. So we are the only platform in town that will be out there for a whole week. So we will be out there with the boys. Anthony, have a great weekend, my friend. Enjoy July 4th. We will catch you next week in Vegas, baby.
Yes, see you in Vegas, Big O. Have a good weekend.
There you go. The great Anthony Chang in our Liquor Split Miami Heat and NBA report.
You're now tapped into the latest with the Miami Heat. This has been the Miami Heat Liquor Split Report with insider Anthony Chang. Download the Liquor Split app and enjoy your favorite drinks at wholesale prices. Delivered right to your door in minutes with a flat fee of $2.99. VIP lifestyle without the VIP prices. Tap that app. With Liquor Split.
All right. Joseph is asking me, oh, how about James Harden? Well, what about James Harden? James Harden staying in Philadelphia, and I don't want James Harden anywhere in Miami, bro, please. But he's staying there. And he's not taking a pay cut. He's deferring salary to the back end. He's not taking a pay cut. He'll take less on the front end and then add it to the back end of the contract. That's how he's doing them a favor. God, you'll see when he signs his deal, it'll be the same max deal, but it'll be back-ended. That's all. He'll take less now, and at least he should, the way he has screwed Morey over. This is the way he should repay him. But it ain't because he's taking a pay cut. He's just taking less up front and back-ending it. Marlins and Loria style. No point in trading KD if you have no roster. KD couldn't carry OKC or Nets by himself. Yep, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. That's I think, the problem there. If Simmons comes to Miami, Butler's leaving. No, not really. I don't think so. Seth Curry? Nah, I don't think that that's what they really need. Let's see. Big O, does Anthony know about Sylvander tweeting out that Miami already put out a trade for Donovan Mitchell? Well, I'm sure they've put out several trades. That's nothing new. The question is, when are they going to accept a trade? And has Miami put out anything that they want? Obviously not. But I'm sure there's been offers and talks between them. I'm sure that Utah has entertained offers from others. You know, conversations go on all the time. Big O, the only show I can enjoy a morning beer. There you go. Nice. I like it. A little morning beer. Thank you, John, out there. James Harden is not coming to Miami. We don't have an In-N-Out burger joint. No, but we do have strip clubs. Lots of them. So he may love that. Tootsies, you know, maybe the kind of place. A little cheetah action for you. Scores up in Pompano or West Palm, or right? West Palm. So we got our strip clubs down here, man. That's what James Harden really wants. That's his In-N-Out burger. By the way, did you guys see that Florida pastor that got arrested at a Starbucks? Did you see this story? Now, this is a crazy... Let me make sure there's, make sure the right people aren't around, or the wrong people, shall I say. But technically, the right people, because then it would be an uncomfortable situation. But a Florida pastor is facing charges for allegedly masturbating in the patio area of an Osceola County Starbucks. According to the arrest report, the Osceola County Sheriff's Inigio Dali Muniz Colon, 39, was arrested after deputies received a report about a man exposing his sexual organs while masturbating on the patio of a Starbucks along Osceola Parkway in Kissimmee. An investigation later revealed that Muniz Colon previously faced similar charges that also occurred at the location. And he was still a pastor after that one? So he's arrested on Monday of charges of exposing his sexual organs and being held on a $1,000 bond. He's a pastor at Kissimmee and teaches online ministry classes. Does he teach him with Jeffrey Toobin? I mean, seriously. Starbucks, Osceola Parkway, Kissimmee. Masturbating. What is wrong with people? What the hell is that? Like, that's a dude that, like, should never see the light of day ever again. Oh, my God. That's some sick stuff. That pastor sounds like Kellen Winslow Jr. Yeah, it makes Kellen Winslow Jr. look like a saint. The Miami Heat is too hard of a franchise for James Harden. He won't be able to stay in shape for us. Same problem we're dealing with, Lowry and Harden. Now, too extreme. Don't even bother worrying about talking about Harden, bro. Demons, Big O? I don't know about demons. That's pretty disgusting is what I would call it. That's what I would call that. Absolutely disgusting. All right, don't forget, folks. EJD Construction, a proud sponsor of our program, 305-433-4843. If you're looking to expand your home, you're looking to add a second floor, another room, you want to remodelize the entire kitchen or modernize that entire kitchen, remodel it. You want to, how about the backyard? You want to put out a tiki hut with a whole kitchen in the back and barbecue area, all of that. They do all of those kind of things, man. If you're looking for custom home construction and major home remodeling, we're not talking about a handyman. You call EJD Construction, 305-433-4843, folks. And listen, when we talk about they can provide cost analysis with architectural drawings in the design phase prior to paying for the engineering phase. And cost analysis, what is it? It's the basic construction estimate with an added 15 to 30% contingency to establish a budget for construction. They'll do the bid set for you, a full set of architectural drawings that include a site plan, mechanical, and plumbing. Call EJD Construction, folks. They will save you money. Shell construction in-house. That's how they keep the cost down. And, of course, fully insured. Do not hire anybody that is not fully insured because you could end up in a lawsuit. They're fully insured. $2 million liability, 1 million workers' comp. That's why you want to call them. 305-433-4843 for EJDConstruction.com. Manny Navarro and a little college football and Canes talk next.